Starbane's audio.
Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, like real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
And we're rolling. What's up, Hambone?
Anyway, it was right before you called unskilled laborers the N-word, right before we started recording, Dave, that I decided we should really get...
Oh, jeez, here come the emails.
Not true at all.
Ugh.
We decided to have a rolling start to the episode.
Yeah, I'll throw this out there real quick. Talking about last week's episode when we were talking about unskilled labor, regardless of what you think of my opinions on that, I got several nasty emails this week. Not about the unskilled labor. I got four emails talking about how dare you not support the raise of minimum wage. And normally I don't call our listeners assholes, but hey, asshole, go back, listen to the episode, and tell me where I ever said I did not support the raising of the minimum wage. As a matter of fact, I specifically said I do support it. So these are apples and fucking bowling balls right here.
Not to put words in your mouth, but I think what you're thinking is that everybody... Minimum wage should be $15, and it's the argument I've seen brought up online is that these people that are mad, they're not mad that somebody's going to make $15. They're mad that they're not making more money, and maybe that's an argument against the billionaires running the corporations, not the people in the middle, that everybody, maybe everybody deserves a larger piece of the pie that is being consumed almost entirely by the 1% then.
Absolutely. And I support that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what recently Amazon's doing something like, what's the deal?
Breaking story. Amazon's doing something.
Amazon did something.
Jeff Bezos got his hands in something.
Like, Amazon kept a whole bunch of money that was supposed to go to their drivers. And like, of all companies to try to nitpick from their own employees, like Jesus, like give. I'm all for paying people what they're worth. I'm all for raising the minimum wage. I was simply talking about the term unskilled labor. Call it whatever you want. If that's offensive, call it entry level. Is that offensive? I was just simply trying to make the distinction between someone who has specialized training and or experience as opposed to entry level. And I never once did I say I didn't agree with raising the minimum wage.
I think if I'm understanding the argument is the term unskilled labor, because I think it's what is interpreted as a skill. If somebody's a brain surgeon, that is definitely a skill. Mm-hmm. But also, here's a garbage can filled with dirty diapers. Now go carry that down an elevator shaft out to a dumpster that's already filled with dirty diapers every day. Mm-hmm. Now, is that take a training? But the skill is the patience and willingness to do that for the amount of money offered. So I think that's the using the term skill to determine to decide someone's value, I think, is what's offensive. And it's what are you, it's like, it's basically the whole capitalism is a game show. What are you willing to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think like working is just fear factor. It's just it's a long-term game of fear factor of just like, it's not like, will you eat these roaches right now for $5,000? Like, do you want to piss away 35 years of your life in middle management with little to no spiritual reward?
Yeah.
Like that's all it is. It's so, or do you want to gamble on what's in the box? And what's in the box might be pursuing your dreams versus paying off your student loans in the next 5 to 10 years. It's a game show. The whole thing's a game show. And I think someone going like, oh, I'm going to do this gross thing for a paycheck, calling that unskilled is, I understand people getting mad at that because the skill is the willingness and the patience and the tolerance and the mental fortitude to want to handle dirty needles or other people's feces or trash.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree. And granted, I don't know what the job market is like right now because I've been fortunate enough to not need a day job, but
it's not good.
As discussed on this podcast, I've had over 40 jobs in my life. So I've done almost everything you can imagine. And my point, like, and I've always said this too, like I used to get annoyed at friends who were unemployed, and I knew that they weren't really working very hard to find employment. And you may not be able to find the job you want, but in most scenarios, again, I don't know what the current market is like, but my point
Dave, you live in Los Angeles. Go under any underpass near your house and ask the at least three dozen people living there under a tarp what the job market's like.
Yeah, yeah. But my point is, I used to tell friends, like, yeah, you may not be able to find the job you want, but you can find a job. And that goes back to your point of willingness to do it. A lot of my friends who were unemployed were not willing to make minimum wage to do something gross. And hey, that's your right or whatever. But don't tell me that there's no jobs. You know, it's a matter. Are you're not finding the job that you desire or that you feel you're qualified for. But if you need a job, you could probably find a job if you're willing to do, you know, the gross stuff or the undesirable stuff that many people are.
With. Now, I will come back at you with, OK, you're a fucking white kid with parents who worked and provided for you or whatever variation of that okay origin story that many of us share.
Yeah. And I made that point too.
And
I understand not everybody is starting at the same point. Not everybody has the same opportunities.
Yeah. Now you're going to move to say Los Angeles, a city built on falsehoods and the potential that a fraction of a percent of your dream might come true. And that city's filled with people going, well, I'm an actor. I'm a writer. I'm this. No, you just got here. You're nothing. You're unemployed. Mm-hmm. That is your descriptor. Yeah. You are this. Your resume is that you're not an actor. You're nothing compared to everybody else who's nothing. And you think you're going to get 20, like, no, you're going to clean toilets and somebody's going to offer you an employer, because employers are, whether you want to call them greedy or like, or they want to show you the book saying, I only make a couple more dollars than you at the end of the day, is going to pay you to clean their toilets.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else is like, I already got two other jobs. Throw this one in there too for another, however much under the table money. I think it's pride. It's pride that keeps people from taking those jobs. I don't know, man. I think I'm saying contradicting things.
No, that's a good point. It is pride. Certain people think I'm too good to do X, Y, Z.
To think you're above any type of work.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that is, people get, people are getting fucked. They're going to college because you're told you got to go to college. And you go and you spend this money and you go in debt. Because look at how much college costs compared to what the inflation is everywhere else. That's my big thing. Compared to inflation, the minimum wage should have gone up to, I forget what the amount is, according to the value of the dollar. And college tuition should not have gone up as much. So people that are only skilled enough to make minimum wage, say, or an entry-level job, but are told you got to go to college, which is skyrocketed past what the inflation should be. It's a rigged system. It's a rigged system. And so anytime somebody like is in a position to say like, hey, unskilled labor is kind of undermining the cause, I'll be like, okay, I don't need to use that word anymore. I don't need to fight to use that word anymore.
Yeah.
Because that cause to correct it is larger than the grammatical inconvenience I might have trying to say the right thing, you know?
Yeah. And just to reiterate, I'm not fighting for the right to use that term. Yeah. I was simply making, you know, people who are offended by that term. Well, call it whatever you want, but there is a distinction. But and I get your variable there with, you know, your skill being the willingness to do the undesirable mm-hmm. job, but call it whatever you want, but there is a distinction. Because my point is, I'm basing this off experience. You know, I've had friends that just felt entitled to certain jobs or a certain wage. And it's like, well, what about, you know, those jobs that you feel like you're entitled to, they're occupied by people who went out and got training for that job or got experience for that job. Mm-hmm. And the whole origin of this, from my point of view, is just getting annoyed at people who are entitled. Like, well, I deserve, blah, blah, don't call me unskilled. Well, okay, that's fine. Call it whatever you want. But if you want to, you know, do something beyond that, maybe put it, pay your dues, put in some work, put in some experience, get some training. That's all I was trying to say. But oh boy, rub some people the wrong way.
I mean, it's a sensitive issue right now. Mm-hmm. Try to take down the rich. They need allies out there, man.
Mm-hmm. No, and I get that. Yeah, you know, I'm definitely not an aristocrat, so. I'm not fighting for the billionaires.
I don't know, man.
Exploit their workers.
Not everybody's got a treadmill in their living room.
Exactly.
This is the equivalent of having a swimming pool in your house. Well, I do have a treadmill in my living room. I do have a moving sidewalk in my home.
Oh, boy.
That's all a treadmill is. You can just go find a moving sidewalk at the airport and stay on that for a couple hours.
Man, I love getting on those things. I feel like
do you walk on them or do you stand on them?
I walk. Yeah, just because it feels so good to walk that fast and put forth such little effort.
I realize how much exercise I got just from, well, I was talking about that before, just having a house with, or like an apartment with stairs to get to it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily like a walk-up apartment like New York or something. But having stairs, and then being in airports, I always took the stairs.
Yeah.
Like if I didn't have too much luggage, I was like, no, that's like, again, the use it or lose it attitude towards my own body. I'm like, mm-hmm. if that's stairs, then use your legs.
Yeah.
So I would always, and then just not doing that, not traveling, and then moving to a ranch house, like a ranch style house on the ground. Fucking up my legs. I mean, I could walk up one flight of stairs. I'm like, what hell? I sprained everything.
Man, I don't know how people do it. Like you said, in New York or other cities where you live on the fifth floor and there's no elevator. Holy shit.
My grandmother lived till 92. My cousin was a personal trainer, the Maresca way. I'll plug it. He's on Instagram. He's like, he's a maniac. He's the guy who's like at his 50th birthday party, he jumped off a second story roof into a pool. Broke his neck. It was a very inspirational story, by the way. Broke his neck surfing. Was never going to walk again. Now he's out surfing again.
Jeez.
But anyway, he's like, he thought my grandmother lived till 92 because she had stairs in her house. And every day going up and down staircases, just that minimum, like pushing your blood through your system, moving your body around. It's not, you're not getting big. Yeah. You're not getting strong, but you're not stagnating. You know, you're not like, mm-hmm. getting like astronaut physique where you just atrophy because you're sitting there all day.
Well, that's something I read recently, and of course I retain none of the actual details.
That's all right.
But
that's all right.
Something about how a sedentary lifestyle, like sitting at your desk or wherever, is like the new smoking. I guess that's why some in corporate culture they're encouraging like the standing desks, yeah. and things like that. But yeah, just sitting. I mean, if you're just sitting at your desk 40 hours a week. You know, if you're not really getting into it on your off time in terms of exercise, that's yeah. got to be bad for you.
Yeah. Go back and let's go back into the employment thing. You know, you're just paid to sit there and stare at a screen. Your eyes are going to shit. Your body's going to shit. The mm-hmm. skill is, some of the skill is, what are you willing to sacrifice for the paycheck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, well, you know, some like, oh, backbreaking labor. Like, backbreaking is sitting at a desk for 10 years and not realizing that your posture has yeah. destroyed your future.
Mm-hmm. I kind of miss, to a certain degree, I kind of miss my former blue-collar lifestyle in terms of, like, when I used to mow lawns and do landscaping. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even, of course, we all know, like, fitness has never been a huge part of my life, but I never even had to worry too much about, like, oh, am I getting enough cardio this week? Am I exercising? It's just because, I mean, yeah, sometimes I was just sitting on a riding mower, but a lot of times I wasn't. A lot of times I was, you know, doing real manual labor, and I kind of miss working a job like that.
How you chose to say manual labor instead of unskilled labor right there.
Yeah, unskilled labor. but seriously, even that is like I got experience. I got some training. Now, there are landscaping jobs and construction jobs that might fall under the fill-in-the-blank label, but, you know, you can't – a lot of what I was doing, you couldn't just drag somebody off the street day one and expect them to do it at the same level I was doing. But regardless, that's not my point. My point was I enjoyed not having to worry about – exercise and fitness, you know, and because like, oh no, I'm getting plenty at work. So I do kind of miss that, the built-in benefit of getting good exercise.
Doing
something like that.
I'm still fascinated at people that join gyms, especially in a place with nice weather. People that pay money to go somewhere to move heavy things around like that. I get the motivation, and some people love that it's this compartmentalized. I go there for an hour, and that's where it happens. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you got shit in your house you can pick up and move. Again,
yeah,
like,
but that's just, not
the treadmills and stationary bikes. I know you have. We've already covered that. I just think it's like, man, you got a device to mimic living. Good for you.
But no, like, I, you know, you got stuff in your house to move. You expect people, what are you just supposed to pick up your couch, do shoulder presses with your furniture?
You tell me what the difference is between squatting and lifting your couch versus doing the same thing with kettlebells.
Ergonomics. Like, a kettlebell is designed for you to grab it and pick it up, maybe a couch is not.
You could put a couple handles on that couch. I'm saying, man, you can get prison strong. I got that book by that prisoner that comes to Charles Bronson around here somewhere. Oh, what
man, have you seen? I do respect the shit out of the dudes or gals, anybody that speaking of like prison strong, like I've seen a lot of videos lately of like these body weight exercises, and you'll see these dudes at like a public park or a playground just doing chin ups and doing all kind of crazy, not just chin ups, but like crazy body weight things where they're holding their body in a certain weird position. Like that's insane strength.
Oh, the guys over at like Santa Monica where they got the gymnastics rings and stuff down by the beach and the parallel bars.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that is crazy.
Core strength.
It's insane. Doing crazy, weird, one-handed push-ups and shit like that.
This is a little on topic and a little off topic. But okay, that Marjorie Taylor Greene, the QAnon ding-dong that's in Congress.
Yeah.
And I was reading about her that like she kind of made her bones like owning a CrossFit gym in Georgia. Uh-huh. And I wonder that there's no correlation whatsoever other than like CrossFit being a culty type of thing or anything that like multi-level marketing or something that has like a cult element to it. I know people say that about CrossFit.
Yeah. Why is that? What makes it a cult thing? Because I've heard that as well, but I don't know much about it.
I wonder if it's like the cheering each other on kind of. You know, you join and it's how you motivate each other, maybe. Whereas like a gym you go to by yourself, CrossFitters be like, you got it. Look at you. You're doing good. Like, but also that kind of reinforcement is not the same as confirmation bias, but the thing when you get into a conspiracy and you only start talking to other people that follow that conspiracy, the groupthink is like kind of eliminated any negative aspects of it. So whereas the outside world sees CrossFit and like, oh, look at these assholes all running around the block holding old tires. They have to convince themselves that that's okay. Like, whatever, look at all these weaklings out there. We're getting strong. And then that group think, if somebody enters it with also going, by the way, Q told us to look out for this. And you're having that discussion while you're running around the block with a tire over your head. I wonder if there's any correlation of like injecting a crazy idea into people that are already connected with a mindset. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you're going to church and everybody's into that church and into the preacher, and then the preacher starts taking them down a path of homophobia or whatever. A few people drop out, but then if you're already kind of like, well, we've already followed this guy this far and have trusted him, and as a group, and you're looking at each other, you know, everybody's fallen victim to being like with a group of friends, like, hey, let's go put blindfolds on, walk down the train tracks, and like three buddies that know that's dumb are like, yeah, no, fuck you. And everybody else is like, ah, we've been having adventures together. Let's go do something stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Huh.
Also, Marjorie Taylor, she looks like she did CrossFit with her face. She is, I normally would not want to comment on someone's physical appearance. She looks like she's wearing the face of someone else over her face.
I've heard her.
She's a piece of shit, so I have no problem going that being shallow about what I'm mocking about her.
I wouldn't know her if I ran over her in my car. So
I think that is the best way to get to know her. I think that might be an acceptable way to get to know her. Oh no, the left is advocating violence. Ha, suckers! I'm not the left. I'm just Kyle. You can blame me for whatever. I got whiskey in me. Whatever. It's 3 p.m.
Oh boy.
Hey everybody, faithful podcast listeners, my name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones, or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
I tried to make a... Did you write any new jokes lately? I have a joke that now that pertains to what we're talking about, and I want to talk about it.
No, I don't have any new thing to riff on this week.
Okay. And I'm off. I've had like three sips of whiskey. I'm not even drunk.
I'm okay.
You're all right.
I'm cranky today. I haven't been sleeping well.
You are. You are a little cranky. That was me last. What? You haven't been sleeping? What's wrong?
Our bed sucks. We'll get into this in a minute. But like we spent 3 days in San Diego this weekend.
And, it was awesome.
And sleeping in a nice hotel bed reminded me of how shitty our bed. For whatever reason, our bed just sucks. Katie and I both just don't sleep well in it, so it's time to invest in a good bed. But yeah, man.
I think, well, there is the mattress conspiracy, which we could talk about while if you do start to shop for a new bed.
Uh-huh.
About how like all the mattress stores are always lumped together in one area, but nobody's in them, and why do they? We should look into that. I think we tried to talk about it before, or maybe it's one that I brought to the table and didn't have the enthusiasm.
What's the theory? Why are they lumped together?
No, just that it's really like a giant money laundering scheme that like these mattresses, like in no way should a mattress cost past a certain amount. Like even really? Including, my brief element of economics where I was like, I was going to buy a fancy cooler. You know, there's like these Yeti coolers that are hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And then there's these knockoff ones that look like they're made the same way. And it is like like injection molded plastic or whatever with foam in it. Why is Yeti still charging $500 for a cooler that's also $175, which material-wise probably cost the original manufacturer $30? And it's like, well, the R&D, you're paying for all the research that the innovator put in, which is why patents are important. But at one point, like with mattresses, really, how much, like the R&D is covered. Oh, here's springs covered by cloth material. You lay on it.
Mm-hmm.
So why should any mattress cost past a couple hundred bucks at this point?
I mean, you can make that argument with almost anything. Why are sneakers $250?
Well, that's because, but that's like a fashion thing. That's because people, that's a fashion. People are willing to pay for this name brand. There's no name brand on a mattress. You're not flashing Serta. You're not letting the tag hang out your mattress like people going in your bedroom. And it's, the theory is like it's this huge money laundering thing akin to like the art world of like nobody really knows the value. So it's just like, well, come on by. Like, why are there showrooms?
Yeah, but based on my initial grievance with my mattress, I mean, there's poorly made ones and very well made ones. So like anything else, I guess the good ones are going to cost more. Yeah.
But like thousands of dollars, though, unless it's a like a the elevator kind. I don't know. There's a conspiracy around it. We should look into it. I don't know if it's a whole episode's worth. Also, that is how I decided to buy the last nice mattress I got, was because I was at a hotel where I was like, this mattress is great. Was that like a Sheridan or something? I was like, I'm going to find out who makes this. I'm going to check with the website. It's like, who makes it? And they were like, yes, you had a good night's sleep. We partnered with these people. And then I think so that was it.
Yeah, and that's just something we haven't invested in, but I've heard that angle a lot, that invest in a good mattress because you spend a third of your life laying on it.
Yeah, dog. Take care of that back. Take care of your back, buddy. You got to get some sleep, be peppier, be less angry on these podcasts. Then it finally skyrockets. We get that My Favorite Murder money, and everybody's happy. It's all because you're not sleeping well enough, Dave.
I got to take, speaking of classes.
It's all because you're not sleeping well enough, and we're not exploiting the murders of strangers.
I need to, sometimes I feel like I need to take a sleeping class. Like I got to work on my form and technique because sometimes I just forget how I'm supposed to lay.
All right.
I've been sleeping my whole life. And then I'm like, what position? I forgot what position I like.
Dude, you just talked about it when speaking about office workers having bad posture. And over time, they fall into decrepitude. You start, side sleeping. Decrepitude.
I hope you just made that up because that's funny. Decrepitude.
Yeah. Well, decrepit is the adjective.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Decrepitude, the state of being, would be the noun.
Decrepitude. Oh, that's funny.
But like side sleeping's bad. I fuck up my shoulders if I sleep on my side now. Supposed to sleeping on your back's supposed to be the best way. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it.
I can't do that because of the snoring.
Yeah, I got that.
Man, speaking of which,
how have human beings not mastered sleeping?
I don't know, but my heart goes out to anybody with a sleep apnea mask. How in the hell are you supposed to sleep with that thing? I guess you have to sleep on your back if you've got a mask on, right? Because if you slept on your side, it would kind of push off.
I went for a sleep study. Yeah, I went for a sleep study because of that. And then they're like, all right, just do everything you would normally. Because I'm like, hey, man, I brought some weed gummies to help me go to sleep. He's like, anything you would normally do to get to sleep, you can do here. And now we're going to tape 100 sensors to your body and lay on your back. I'm like, well, this is not how I would normally sleep. So I don't know how we could do this one night and get an accurate reading because I never sleep on my back.
You come in with a 12-pack of Coors Light. This is what I do at
home. I was like, I'm going to rub one out, fall asleep halfway through the second one. I'm gonna go about 1.7 on the cranks here. Fall asleep halfway through the second one. And I'll see you in the morning. I give them some juice and a muffin.
I gotta jack off, drink some whiskey, and put on some Cheers. All right, I'm ready.
I'm gonna get my hand glued to my dick like that kid with the tongue on the lamppost in A Christmas Story. gonna wake up in a fright. I think What if that's it? What if we tried to make beds too comfortable and it works for a while, and then that's what's screwing you up later in life is like these soft beds.
Ooh, that might be it. Because I slept when I was in the van. I had a real shitty mattress. Did that for a few years. Then I moved into the minivan. I slept on the goddamn floor. Didn't even have a mattress. Maybe all those years of hard sleeping are catching up to me, and I can't cope now that I've got an actual mattress.
Well, I'm saying maybe it's worse that you have a softer mattress, and that as the human body is developed, we're supposed to have a firmer sleeping. Like, you don't think it's comfortable in the initial, like, you want to lay on something that's all soft and squishy, but then your body's just kind of melting over the softness and not keeping its form correctly throughout the night.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. It's comfortable initially, but then 6 hours later, your spine's been curved because your shoulders tilted down the wrong way. Much like sitting. If you sit slouched because it's comfortable at the moment, but you do that every day for 8 hours a day for years, you fucked up your whole body. Whereas if you sit up properly, which isn't necessarily comfortable in that moment, in the long run, you won't have as many problems.
Yeah.
Sponsored. Did we ever sell those shitty rollout mattresses on this website? If somebody else wants to point out the irony of whatever ads, we have some we have some morality to the ads.
Oh, yeah. We say no to stuff. We say no to, you say no to stuff. I say yes to everything.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to, you know what? I will sell the ball. No. I will sell the bald pills. I think I said I wouldn't, but I'm not, like, if you're dumb enough to buy pills that are supposed to be for hair loss and you let a bald guy sell them to you, then you're a fucking idiot. We'll take the money. You go think your hair is going to grow back, you dipshit.
Man, going back to mattresses and stuff, you know what? One of the most depressing things I've ever done. I don't know why this was so depressing when it happened, but like sleeping on the floor of your minivan that you live in is one thing because you're like, I've chosen to do this and whatever. But you ever slept on the floor of your own fucking apartment? That's a real bummer. Years ago, over 10 years ago now, the gal I was with in a long-term relationship years ago, this would have been 2009, we broke up, and she moved out and took the bed with her. You know, I was like, sure, take it, whatever. And I stayed in that apartment. We still had 2 months left on the lease. So I stayed in that apartment for another 2 months with no bed. And because I had already made arrangements to move in with a buddy, you know, when the lease expired, and he had a bed. So I wasn't going to go out and buy another mattress or bed just for 2 months. So for 2 months, I slept in my living room just on a pallet of blankets. God damn, that was depressing. Like, in an apartment, like, I'm paying rent for this apartment. It's a decent apartment, but I'm sleeping on the floor like I'm fucking squatting. Like, that was a bummer. Sleeping on the floor of your own apartment.
Oh, man. Somebody went to the steakhouse, just got a plate of fries. Did you? Okay. I think it was James Fritz's joke about sleeping on an air mattress that had a leak in it. Everybody's first year, like real good comics first year in LA is the saddest on paper, but on stage, it's the funniest, like watching people process what they've sacrificed to pursue their dreams. And I think his was about being on the air mattress. I think his album was called Deflated or something because his head of Lee's like, oh, you think you're sad? You guys have to blow up your own bed every night before you go to sleep in it? Or like the sensation of like feeling the floor halfway through the night because it's deflated enough. Did you help move the bed out for your girlfriend?
No, okay. Only because she moved out on a weekend when I was on the road. So her friends came over and helped her. So I left for a weekend on the road, came back, and everything was gone. But, yeah, man, I don't know why. And it was more like it really wasn't too much of the breakup because it was one of those things where like this was a long time coming. So I'd kind of mentally prepared myself for that. It was just something about paying rent and sleeping on the floor of your own place. And not even like a situation where I'm living with a bunch of other people and there's more people than there are beds or bedrooms.
Yeah, you didn't even do an air mattress, like, man?
No, because even that, I think I went and looked at them and they were, you know, I found one for like $50.
You went to the air mattress showroom?
did a little tire kicking on an air mattress. No, I went just to Walmart.
Store,
to,
you know, just a like store. Nice. I wanted like an REI type store, but for people, like, it's just called Transitions. And it's really like, you think it's for camping, but listen, we know you're going to live on this stuff. Like, oh yeah, this propane stove would fit in a RV or in your van. I fizzled out on the bit. I thought I lost you, and then my motivation to sell the bit fell apart there.
When I lived with Ryan Singer, I lived with him for a year and two other dudes, and then I moved out back into the van. And a few months after that, it just was. That's when I moved into the minivan, and it just wasn't going well. And they had filled my room after I moved out. So, you know, that room was taken. But then there was some talk amongst the roommates of maybe we should rent out our closet to Dave. And I seriously considered all right, I'll pay you $100 a month if I could just sleep in this big walk-in closet, put a little air mattress in there. But I think eventually, I think one of the roommates vetoed it just because they didn't want five people in the apartment.
My buddy, when we got to L.A., he moved into a house off Fairfax, right down the street from the Laugh Factory. And it was the dining room. And he just built walls to enclose the dining room. He's got some plywood and created walls. And that was, I almost moved into a place. It was like a mansion in Mount Washington, over kind of by like Highland Park, Eagle Rock area.
Yeah, and I like that area.
Yeah, it was a nice area. It was this big, huge house. I don't know if you'd call it a mansion, but I guess you'd call it a mansion. But it's just this crazy old dude who just rented out all the different rooms of his house. And I was gonna rent one of the rooms, and it was like a hallway bathroom type of situation, shared bathroom. But then in the area, like, he had like, I don't know if it's like a necessarily a ballroom, like a big open space with big beautiful windows looking out over a valley, but it was all partitioned off with like cubicle walls. And different people were living in there, like a shanty town inside the mansion. And I almost moved into there, man.
Damn.
And again, it's like, what are you willing to, so much of this kind of goes back to the labor, like, what are you willing to do to make money? And what are you willing to do in your own personal life? Like, how little are you willing to spend? Like, what sacrifices?
Yeah.
Are you willing to do to make the money and to save that money you do make?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's important to you? So
I eventually. Did I ever tell you this when I
decided not
to? Go ahead. I cut you off.
No, I wisely did not move into the shared mansion.
When I first moved to LA, right before I moved to LA is right before I decided to go the van route. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to get things set up in LA. I was looking for apartments, looking for roommates, that kind of thing. And obviously it didn't work out, or else I wouldn't have got the van. But I found a place that was on Craigslist that was doing a timeshare bedroom.
Yeah.
Where basically you live here, you pay rent, but you're paying a discounted rate because one roommate gets the bedroom from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and then you have to get out, and another person occupies it from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. I thought that was the strangest thing. You share a bedroom.
What's up with the sheets?
But then? Yeah, exactly. I was like, what, you just change the sheets every night? I didn't understand that. And I found a couple like that on Craigslist that were basically, you live here for 12 hours a day, and then you got to get the fuck out.
I'm sure that exists in every city to some extent, but man, I would tell do yourself a favor and peruse other peruse city Craigslist, like major destination city Craigslist, just to see what they're offering, and maybe it makes you feel a little bit better about your own situation. Because LA, yeah, I almost did that. I almost lived in an RV trailer that was in somebody's driveway. I went, I talked to them. I was like, well, yeah, no, you can, we'll give you the code to get in the house if you got to use the bathroom at night. I'm like, ah, I will, I'm going to get kicked out of here for peeing in your driveway within the first week. I know it.
That was always the not the goal, but if ever the opportunity presented itself, when I was in the van, when I first moved out here, I had a lot of friends that were very generous, and they're like, what are you doing in the van? Just crash on my couch. And I was like, no, this is my own thing. It's my own doing. I'm not going to.
Pride. You had too much pride, Dave.
Yeah, I did. And I wasn't going to burden my friends with my stupid little life experiment. So I'm like, no, man.
Let me tell you, but I flooded my bathroom. You didn't want to do that?
I'm not
going
to burden my friends. But no, my thing was, I was like, if you really want to do me a favor, like if you want to help, just let me park my van if you have a driveway.
Yeah.
Because that was always, that was premium in the sense that I wasn't technically and mentally, I wasn't parked on the street.
Yeah,
you know, to be able to park in someone's driveway felt a little safer, and it was a little sense of security. But I would do that occasionally. I'd have friends that, you know, the time I got my van stuck in Rory Scovel's driveway.
Yeah.
He had a little parking space, little four parking spaces, that was covered like a little carport. And, each space was kind of portioned off by these posts, these steel posts that were holding up the carport. Mm-hmm. And, he let me do that. I spent a couple nights there, and then I got the fucking van stuck, and I almost knocked over the whole structure, put a big dent in the door, trying to squeak my way out of there.
Dude.
Miss those times.
I'm looking at this van, and I'm going to have a big post-it on the windshield. Tell me how tall the van is. At all times, so I don't just go peeling the top off of this thing, just can opener style.
What van are you speaking of, Kyle?
Well,
we haven't talked about that.
No, we talked about it last week. No, people know I've been looking for a van.
You're getting close to pulling the trigger.
I got one. I got a rental parked out front. Rental with the prospect of purchase out there, so I gotta go. Yeah. I gotta go get it to the dealership Wednesday to get it looked at. So it's a four. And
that's exciting.
You know what? I had I was about to go for the Ram ProMaster, and it was because of me mentioning on the podcast that people were like, whatever you do, don't do it. I think a couple people were very happy with theirs, and I'm glad that you did not incur the problems that I've heard about. But by and large, people have been like, avoid ProMasters. Not either people that contact me talking about it here or just what I've read. Avoid ProMasters. So this one is a Ford Transit. It's a 2019. It's got 43,000 miles on it. So I might be out there soon just trying to do a show at your house. I'll let you know.
That's sweet, man. And this one's already been built out, right?
Yeah.
You got everything you need.
Again, to go back to the I know my strengths, and I'm wise enough to admit what I can and can't do at this point. Well, at least with some things. And what's the phrase? What is it? Time, money, and energy. And you can have two of those things.
Huh. I haven't heard that. That makes sense, though.
So I would rather buy something that's been built and looked over and get out there and do it, because I don't want to put the time in. This isn't an RC car where if I break it, I could just put it on a shelf for a while and then return to it when I feel like. This is something with, I'm sure if I was passionate about building it, I'm not. I'm passionate about getting, I'm passionate about doing comedy and poorly riding a mountain bike. This will facilitate that. So
yeah, that's awesome, man.
I will do the things that I'm good at and can earn money at, and then move that money to people who want to build a van. That's how I view it.
Yeah.
And I know there's that whole fucking built, not bought pride in it. And I'm good. I'm glad. And I'm happy for you.
Yeah. But that, you know, but I mean, everybody has to go there.
But I'm also not like, look at me, van life. No, man, I'm not. Mm-mm. I didn't build it. I'm not going to act like I did. I just want to get and ride my bike and then get to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
that's exciting, it. Man.
We'll see, man. It's boogie adventures.
It's incredibly liberating to have a vehicle that you can take anywhere and know that you can crash in it. You know, that's the wrong choice of words.
Yeah, I was going to say the phrasing's a little
to not be dependent on someone else's couch or a hotel room or whatever. Just knowing that you've always got your bedroom with you, no matter where you go. That's that was the flip side. Like you know, I talk about the annoyances and some of the minor hardships of when I was in a van. And again, I don't ever try to poor mouth it because it was, you know, it was a self-induced hardship. But the flip side to the inconvenience or whatever was just the freedom of, like, I could go literally anywhere the van could go, and I knew I always had a roof over my head and a bed. And, man, that was fun. That part of it was, I'm going to say, almost made it worth it. But, yeah, man.
Well,
you're gonna love it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the inspection and everything. But, like, you know, how I would tour was I would fly into one place, get a rental car, and then, okay, for whatever, 6 to 10 days, I'm on tour. And I'm doing a show every night, and I'm driving. I would make sure that it was, like, all about 5 hours between shows.
Mm-hmm.
Six maximum, really. But that was 6 hours of driving through amazing places that I would look at and be like, boy, one day maybe I'd come back here and actually get to spend some time and see it. And now I'm thinking, like, well, if you get this van, instead of doing a show every night, do a show every other night or every two nights. You have you have two nights off, one night on. Mm-hmm. And you just pull up to this place. I remember specific moments. It was definitely the Southeast. It was like, Kentucky going into the kind of the Carolinas. Maybe it was like Blue Ridge Mountains, I think it was. Blue Ridge Highway? Is that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blue Ridge Mountains. You got the Smoky Mountains up there.
I just remember being that, and then just place where I wasn't doing shows, but boy, if I could just pull off and hang out in Utah on the way out to do shows, or on the way back to, like, not have to find a hotel, not just cruise right into a camp and have a bike with me and be able to do that. So we'll see, man. We'll see. There's a little midlife crisis element of feeling like I'm physically not going to be able to do all that stuff. Do you ever sit, like, look at your like Google calendar or pick, like, a point in the past?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like 10 years ago, like, okay, 10 years ago, I was 34. And I look from, like, 34 to now and think about, okay, what would I have done more? I would have done more bike riding or physical stuff or pushed myself more. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think I'm too old to still do stuff now, but I can definitely slip into the mindset of regretting it in another 10 years, going, hey, remember when you thought maybe you should get a van or maybe you should go take more trips and camp and bike ride and see stuff? And you thought that, but you didn't do anything. Well, that's what I thought about 10 years ago. So I should get off my ass and do it now.
Well, especially if you have nothing preventing you from achieving that. You know, it's one thing, you know, if you're just a normal person with a normal income to be like, I wish I would have vacationed in the south of France. Well, you know, it's easier said than done. But, you know, to things that you are capable of doing or achieving and that you wanted to do, if nothing was preventing you from doing it and then you still chose not to do it, that's a bummer.
Yeah. Do you ever do that? Do you ever, like, look at, like, oh, this amount of time from now to this amount of this date in the past, I accomplished or didn't accomplish this. I better make sure starting today we correct that or stay on the same path. Like, man, you did great in those years. Let's take all the high points and the good intentions and behaviors and make sure we keep applying them.
Yeah. No, I think about that all the time. I think I've said this before, but I started comedy late. I didn't start comedy till I was 29. And then looking back, that's not that big of a deal. It's not like I started when I was 45. But
what you could still do, everybody.
Yeah.
don't be scared of it. Get out there and live your life.
But I was real hung up on that when I started, not when I first started, but a couple years into it, when I started touring and started, you know, to do a little bit of here and there, you know, some small personal goals achieved. But I was real hung up on like, I wish I would have started earlier. But because of that, it made me really put my foot on the gas. Like I felt like, okay, I don't have time to fuck around. Once I decided that this is not a hobby, that I'm going to really try to make a go out of this, because I started late, I just felt like, you know, I've already lost all these years. Well, and I think the point of two was I wanted to start when I was 20. Like I told that story. I used to go to open mic, sign up, and then chicken out. So the fact that I knew that, like, if you weren't such a puss, you would have started 9 or 10 years ago, but you didn't. Now you're starting at almost 30. It made me try to at least accelerate the whole process a little bit.
But how?
Yeah, I think about that shit all the time.
How valuable is it to remember that feeling of, like, remember when you chickened out? And use it as like fuel for the fire now. Like that's why that's the part of the exercise, is looking back and like, okay, what are the regrets from this time, this whatever time period you choose? And like, well, then use it. That's gasoline right now. Use it to go like, oh man, I can't believe this much time went by. And even if it's little thing, like I always thought I could, like, just like you said, like I always thought I'd want to sign up for an open mic. Or I wanted to take guitar lessons, or whatever thing it might be. Use that feeling instead of just sitting there going, "Oh, I can't believe I wasted all this time." Like, use that feeling and start now. Man, this turned into an oddly motivational speaker type podcast. I feel good about it though. I don't know. I like talking about this stuff.
No, I do too. And I think about that kind of stuff all the time. Like here recently, the last couple of years, and I don't know if it's a midlife crisis thing or whatever, but just being more aware of my mortality. You know, when you're 20, this is kind of a cliche, but people, you think you're going to live forever.
Yes.
But when you get in your 40s, you're like, okay. I mean, this is trivial, but even something like music, like I'm just so deep into music and records right now. And I thought about this the other day, and I know this sounds silly, but like, I feel like there's not an, I don't have enough time in my life to listen to all the music I want to listen to experience, you know, there's just, I mean, that's the thing about music and records, just an endless sea, especially if you're into multiple genres, there's just an endless amount of records and music to consume. And I think about that sometimes, like, shit, I hope I live long enough to listen to all the music I want to listen to, or live long enough to fill in the blank, to do all the blank I want to do. Like, and I'm not obsessed with my mortality, but it's being self-aware. You know, it's like, look, you're at best, you're halfway done. I mean, if I live to 86, I feel like, you know, unless I change my health, like, That's being pretty optimistic. So based on that, I'm halfway done. So let's do all that shit that you want to do before it's too late.
It's whatever the first half of the statement, like, we'll get rich or die trying. Just do the second half. Die trying.
Yeah.
Just make sure you got that second half, whatever the first part might be. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's, especially now, I remember after 9/11, like, it was like a New Year's resolution for people. It was, you know, like how the gyms are full and the open mics are full in January, because everybody's made the New Year's resolution. 9/11, like, there was a bunch of people you could tell were like, fuck, I need to do what I keep telling myself I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, now there's some of it, as I'm looking at a van out my window, now there's some of it with some people where it's like, you got to sit at home. I'm pissed I'm not learning Spanish right now.
Uh-huh.
Now, who am I pissed at? Only myself. What am I doing?
Yeah.
I wake up.
I get it.
And then I lay in bed for 2 hours looking at my phone because there's nothing to get out of bed for, especially when it's icy and snowy outside. And if I was just going to get up and do computer shit anyway, why would I get out of bed? Also, because I got a good mattress. So then it goes back to the whole mattress. Everything ties together, Dave. That's a conspiracy. The boogie monster is the conspiracy. It all ties back to a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, what else are we going to talk about?
Anything for Valentine's?
Speaking of that kind of stuff, you went jet skiing.
Hell yeah, man. Went jet skiing, dude.
Hell yeah, man.
Dude, I love it so much. I will say this. I had a blast. It was not quite as fun as last time for two reasons. Last time it was the first time I'd ever done it, so just the novelty of just, you know, like my mind just being blown. Like, I can't believe I've never done this.
Oh, sure,
I was thinking that when I was riding. Like, how have I never done this?
Mm-hmm.
But this time it was very, very fun. But the weather was it had rained a good bit the day before. So the water was choppy as hell.
Choppy seas.
It really cut down on my radness. I couldn't haul ass the way I was doing the first time. Oh, and by the way, I tried to, but I just kept hitting these huge, I don't want to say waves because they weren't like crashing waves, but just.
No, those are waves.
Pretty
those
good
are still
size.
Waves, yeah.
Yeah, small waves, I guess. But like I just kept boom, like bouncing. And like one time I caught a little wave and I landed so hard that it sounded and felt like I was in a car and I hit a deer or a telephone pole. Like it was like, it felt like a crash, but it was literally just jet ski and water.
I've been on like boats.
Just bang.
Like flat, yeah. Flat to flat. And you're like, are we going to sink? Mm-hmm. What's happening?
Yeah. So it was real choppy. Oh, but last time I told you that I feel like an idiot now, that I said I hit 78. I told you I went 78 miles an hour. And I think it was you who was like, you sure that wasn't knots? Because this one was set to MPH, and I did like 50, and I felt like I was about to shit my pants and fly off. Like 50 was like catching some G's, man. Like my face was all peeled back, like ah.
Yeah,
and then I was like, "There's no way."
Feels like it. Then you go by feel.
Yeah. Yeah, but man, it was fun, but it was just choppy. And there was certain parts where like you couldn't go more than 20 miles an hour because it was just so choppy.
Are you sure? But, or maybe that regret should have been itching at your brain. You're like, open it up. Send
it.
You need to send it,
bro.
Oh, really?
I fell off like an idiot. It was towards the very end. We were heading back in, and my legs were starting to cramp a little bit. So while we were just idling, I stood up, and I was like, oh, that feels good. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of stretching the legs. Still had my hands on the handlebars, but I stood up. And then for some reason, in the back of my mind, I was thinking of like a music video or some movie where I saw people. Maybe I was flashing back to watching Entourage, but I was like, oh yeah, people ride these things standing up, don't they? I hit the gas. I traveled 9 feet and tipped it over and fell into the water.
Did you just yell out DJ Khaled and then threw yourself into the sea?
Immediately fell off. Like, not like I was going for a while and then lost control. I immediately. It's like being parked in your car and starting it up, and 9 feet later you crash into a tree. Like, I just immediately flipped over and fell in the water.
I was like, DJ Khaled.
But yeah, I don't know. Just in the back of my mind, because it hadn't dawned on me till that moment that, like, oh yeah, you could ride these things standing up, and I don't know, I don't understand the physics or whatever behind it, but man, I tipped over just immediately.
You see so many people sitting on like motorcycles or scooters not understanding the sensitivity of a throttle and just...
Yeah.
I watched my buddy Bob just... We were in Key West. We were like road trip in our late teens, and we're all sitting on these like Honda Spree scooters or whatever. And the guy's giving us the safety instructions, like telling him specifically, like, listen, you don't want to just wrench down. You'll think that you're grabbing the brake when you're also turning the throttle. So just be kind. And as he's saying that, my buddy Bob clearly was trying to just do what he said, like grab the brake, but twisted the, went diagonal through a four-way intersection into a fence on the other side. And the guy just looked at him. He's like, you guys need to sign extra insurance forms. Like, made us pay for extra insurance. He was right, because Bob crashed that thing a couple more times. But yeah, I understand the mistake that could happen. You're not dumb.
Yeah.
It's an easy mistake to make.
Well, and it wasn't even the throttle. It's not like I just gunned it and then fell off. Like, I started, you know, normal, you know, kind of slow like I always do, but just something about the balance. You know, I think because my weight wasn't squatted down and centered on it, something about the balance of standing up. Like, but it was so funny because it was immediate. Like, I'm not exaggerating. I traveled 9 feet and then fell over.
Were you, did you get completely frozen? Like, was the water cold?
Oh, yeah, it was cold as shit. It was cold as shit.
Yeah, but you got it. You got yourself some jet skiing.
Oh, man, it was fun. It was so fun. Just laid around for, what would we spend? We spent 3 nights in San Diego and just jet skied one night, and the rest just took a little road trip up the coast, saw some beautiful little beaches here and there, hit a couple record stores. Didn't go out to eat anywhere. We got all our food takeout, but just kicking it in the hotel. We had a nice balcony overlooking the water. Oh, dude, nice. I could sit on a balcony and overlook a body of water, and just I could sit there for a week and not move. There's something about a nice balcony where you're up high and you're looking at the water. And
simple pleasures, man.
And, oh, God, that's one of my favorite things in the world. Just, I think I'm starved for it here because we don't have any outdoor space. We don't have a balcony or a patio or anything.
Yeah, so but how? What's your walk to the beach?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm less than 5 minutes walk.
And a walk? On a walk?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, so you can carry a lawn chair and a cooler for less than 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. No, we do that sometimes. We'll go out to the beach and then sit. But just like the concept of like my bed's over there and my balcony's right there. Like, it was just so nice. We just kept the doors open to the balcony the whole time. Just had that ocean breeze coming in. Oh, it was a good old time, man. We had fun.
Nice. I was excited when you were like, yeah, we're going to San Diego. She's taking me jet skiing. I'm like, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, man. Dude, I could get used to that, man. Don't let me become successful and have some disposable income, man.
Man, jet ski money's not that much money. You can have jet ski money.
Yeah.
It's tough being an apartment dweller and having these hobbies, though.
Yeah, I can't justify purchasing a jet ski.
That was my thing. Without a garage, and I had like all the like bikes just in a living room and shit. Like apartment, like. People take for granted what like house living and having a garage and a yard really means.
Mm-hmm.
Just storage.
Yeah. No, I thought about that a lot when, you know, a year ago when COVID first broke, we were all trying to, you know, adapt to quarantine and stuff. And then our buddy Gilbert, shout out to our buddy Gilbert Lowen, great comic based out of Atlanta. But his family has I think a 400 acre farm down in middle Georgia. It's a nice little town called Warm Springs. And I remember when this first started, about a month into it, Katie and I are starting to go a little stir crazy. And then Gilbert just sends me a picture of him out on the, they got a lake, they got 400 acres and chilling out on the lake and like right basically at home. And I was so envious of people who had outdoor space. You know, quarantine has been tough on everybody, but man, if you got a huge backyard or, you know, some acreage and some land, like it makes it a lot easier.
I'm not going to lie. We just putting some logs in the fire pit and just sitting in the yard here. Mm. But also we hung out with the neighbors more right before we moved. Cause there was like, the shared patio space at the old apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you had a nice spot there. That
patio. Yeah, and then the neighbors were like, "Hey, we can all sit outside and have drinks. Everybody else is cooped up. Let's all use this space out here and hang out." So we wound up hanging out with the neighbors more in the last couple months than we did in the 3 years living there.
That's cool.
But so that you had a good Valentine's. Did you make anything special? Any special food, or you just kind of did takeout because you're out on the road?
No, we just did takeout. Yeah, because we were away from home. Originally, I was going to just cook her a nice meal, and then she's like, "Well, that's great, but we're going to San Diego. I'm like, oh, okay. Did I tell you she tricked me? She told me we were going to Palm Springs just so I would clear my schedule for a few days, clear my schedule. But and then like,
but she didn't. How is that a trick? Like, here's a cool spot. Also, we're going to a different cool spot.
No, I mean, yeah, it was a good trick. I'm just saying she a little deception there. She told me we were going out of town just so, you know, I'd be ready for that. And then she's like, psych, we're going to San Diego instead. And I'm like, even better. I mean, I love the desert, but oh, boy.
You get you a four-wheeler. You get you a four-wheeler.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what we saw going down there? We got behind someone hauling a dune buggy. Oh, boy.
That's
a world I'm going to enter one day.
You forget that all this stuff you see are the activities people do in California.
Mm-hmm.
Like just seeing surfboards on a bat. Like, I only knew surfboards as decorations, like a Applebee's, like a homespun Applebee's type place. Like, you know, Hawaii Harry's. Fun burgers, and you'd be frigid. Like, you just go. That we would go to the Hala Kahiki, which is a giant tiki bar that my parents would go to when they were dating. It's been around for decades over in River Grove, Illinois, and it was always on the shittiest, coldest night to be like, fuck it, call everybody, we're going to the tiki bar. And it was. I apologize for past behaviors, but. It's so snowy out. Nobody's getting a DUI because everybody's sliding off the road.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to the tiki bar because you'd walk in and everybody in there was just covered in the warmest shit. And then you go in and it's just all palm fronds. And like the whole building, it was built to be a tiki bar. A whole building, standalone building, built like you were walking into some shack somewhere in Maui. And in the shittiest winters in the suburbs of Chicago, everybody in there was just tiki drink drunk and with the same idea of like, yeah, it sucks out there. Let's all pretend we're on vacation. So everybody had vacation vibes. You got ripped on tiki drinks. And then like, oh yeah, there's a surfboard. Oh, that's what a surfboard is. It's decoration. Mm-hmm. And then you move to California. Like, oh, that's just, that guy's just got it on his balcony because that's where he stores it. Next to a wetsuit, like, oh, cool. And then you see a dune buggy, like, oh, you actually, those are real. They're not just in old, like, Batman shows. Like, somebody actually drives those. There's a place to drive those.
Mm.
That's why I got into mountain biking. I was hiking, and I saw people just bombing downhill. I'm like, I like bikes, and that looks awesome. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the beauty of living somewhere where there's, you know, outdoor activity to be done. So, no shortage of cool shit to do around here.
I'm glad you got your jet ski fix.
Oh, man. So fun. So much fun. But, yeah, we had a good time. Can't complain.
Nice.
Life's good.
Nice.
Like I said last week, I felt guilty taking a vacation when I'm not really doing shit. But, you know,
man,
good change of scenery.
Mental health, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep that.
Absolutely.
You got to keep that brain in the right place.
Yep. Did you guys do anything Valentine's? Did you cook her up some grub? What'd you do?
Well, it was an ice store. I had an idea what I wanted to get her, and then everything was shut down. I was at the store Friday night buying ingredients. What do we make? Pot pie. Made a big old pot pie in a Dutch oven. I don't know the recipe. I can't say what to do for you. And but when I say we, I peeled the potatoes. So
way to go, a pot pie in a Dutch oven. I like that.
Big, so just a giant.
I've never made a pot pie.
It was like more like a pot cake. It was big. Mm-hmm. It was big boy.
Nice.
And it was good.
Veggie? Good. Just straight
veggie?
Yeah,
veggie. Just beans and potatoes and carrots and mushrooms and just in a big old, she made it in the Dutch oven. It was real tasty. Last night, Valentine's Day, did a little shrimp scampi.
There you go.
I told you how we put on, I don't know if this is racist, but we put on whatever music goes with the meal. It's like, all right.
I don't think so.
Let's listen to some Italian music. We'll listen to, sometimes it feels weird if like we get Thai food and we're like, whatever, Asian music. And then we don't know which country's music it's from, but it's not necessarily line up, you know. Like, I don't know if that's appropriation or if it's just setting the mood.
No, I mean, surely, who could have a problem with that? You know,
somebody can. If this current day and age has proven it's that somebody can always have a problem with whatever you're doing.
Of course,
but
same people can stick in their ear.
Stick it in your ear. Cram it up your ass, stick it in your ear. Mm-hmm. Figure out a hole to put it in. I think, so we did that. We had a little shrimp scampi last night. Again, my job, chop the garlic. The rest of it was... Hey, Charlie. I thought that was you excited for shrimp scampi.
Yeah.
Chopping garlic, you betcha. But yeah, we had some nice little meals. But yeah, I was at the store on Friday, at the grocery store, and the announcement came on, like, listen, it's nobody's here. We're closing at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a nice storm in Oregon. I guess they borrow snow plows from Washington to plow out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they never get snow up here, so it shut the whole city down. Oh, no, Friday.
I understand that.
And then I got Chinese food, and I had to go... And they called me. They're like, listen, we're trying to close. Can you come get your food? I was like 10 minutes late from the pickup time. They're like, please come get this. We want to go home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So. Yeah, man. It was a good little week over here.
Well, that's good, man.
Yeah,
that's
we're just here. We're having fun times. I'm doing some.
How's Dirt Nap doing?
Oh, a little D. Well, you were talking about, have you ever slept on the floor of your own place? I did sleep. I mean, sleeping on the couch isn't a big thing, but it's, you know, because Rachel's allergic to the cat. So it's like, all right, if we're hanging out with the cat, we shower before going into bed. So like the bedrooms are the sanctuary
mm-hmm.
where there's no cat elements. But I was so deep into it with old little D that I just stayed out there. I was under her cat blanket. Aww. She was out. I'm like, I can't take a shower. It's like 3 a.m. at this point. I can't take a shower. I'm like, I'm just out here. A little cockeyed. And she wiling out. She had a snow happen. And I don't know if I'm obviously she's been around for a decade, according to the vet. So she's seen snow at least once. But she's just out there swatting at the flat ground, losing her mind. I don't know.
Speaking of pets, we brought Charlie with us, so that was exciting.
Yeah, what are you doing? What are you doing with those cats? You just leave out a pile of food and let them live?
No, Katie's got a good friend who comes over and house sits.
Oh, okay.
We leave town, so it's kind of mutually beneficial. And I mean, we pay him, but
yeah,
I think he lives with a bunch of roommates, so he's always excited to get away and chill over here with the cats. But yeah, left the cats. We brought Charlie with us, took him to this really cool dog beach. He lost his mind. We got a dog beach here in Long Beach that we take him to, and he's just not into it, just not impressed, antisocial, doesn't give a shit. So we're like, is he even gonna care? But it's like, all right, well, let's try it. And he just lost his mind at this dog beach, just running around, making friends, peeing everywhere, having a big time.
I assume like a dog beach has to be like basically an orgy for a dog. Like no leash. And like, what's that's not a fence. What is that? Oh, it's the ocean. Go check it out. Go try it out.
Yeah, man, there must have been 100 dogs out there. They were just all just going nuts. There's a couple of them. I love it when some of them go in the water. There's a big fat English bulldog just standing in like a foot of water, just like, all right, I'm here. I'm not going to do anything, but I'm going to stand. He just stood still and was just taking it all
for
in.
For once in his life, was wasn't beautiful. Overheating.
it was beautiful. But yeah. Yeah, man, we had a good time. I love just the quick little 2 or 3 day trips, you know. Didn't have to drive long. Where we're at, we're only an hour and a half from San Diego, so quick trip down, quick trip back.
Hour and a half?
Yeah, we're an hour and a half from San Diego with light traffic, yeah. So it was nice.
I thought it was like at least, it's 3 hours from L.A., I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're about, you know, an hour south of L.A., so...
That's true. All right.
Yeah, man. It was good times. I like it down there. I like San Diego. It's so clean.
I came around on San Diego. I used to think it was a weird kind of what's that Reese Witherspoon movie where they go back in time or like
Pleasantville?
Pleasantville. Yeah, it had like a real Pleasantville kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
where it seems squeaky clean, but then it's like really, like really secretly Republican. It's not secretly Republican, but like super like wealthy right wing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine. Kind of like there's no grit on it. But then I'd been down there. And I'm like, nah, there's I had gained an appreciation for San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been down there several times. I'm just always living in Hollywood for the time that I did, just going from Hollywood to San Diego, just how amazing just the difference in terms of just the cleanliness and just no graffiti, no barbed wire around the street signs. It was a nice change of pace. It was a good time.
Got a nice little Italy over there, man.
Oh, really? I haven't been to that.
Yeah.
I went to a cool neighborhood. I went to Mission Hills. San Diego people would mm-hmm. know that neighborhood. I went to Mission Hills and Hillcrest, both of those neighborhoods. Nice little neighborhood. I visited some cool record stores. But, yeah, I don't know enough about, you know, San Diego. I don't really know my way around too much, but I did spend some time in those neighborhoods. And where we stay is a little place called Shelter Island. Just this little bitty peninsula.
Shelter
Island. Just this little strip of land. And, man, it's beautiful. Surrounded by water. And, yeah, dude.
Is that going to be your panic, like, oh, I should do this? And then you're just going to, like, straight up, like, I live in jet ski. I live in San Diego. I live on my jet ski in San Diego.
I thought I just hung up on you. Sorry. Yeah, dude. I mean, who knows?
I got a hammock that I tie to the dock. And then I tied up my jet ski. I keep the throttle going just enough to keep the hammock taut. And that's how I take a nap.
Oh, man. Yeah. One day I'm already talking about trying to retire down there. We've got about 15 different places we're going to retire to. So who knows where we'll end up. I need a break from this stressful life.
Yeah, man. It's tough being anything. 5 minutes away from the beach.
I know, yeah. I forget that sometimes, too.
Look at me folding up my lawn chair to take it down to the beach, unfolding it. Like, what the fuck am I, a coal miner? Who does all this work?
Jeez, gonna walk upwards of 3 blocks to get to the beach? No, sir. No, thanks. Anything else going on, man? Anything exciting?
Up this way? Nah, man.
No. Real, how cold is it today?
Real hard chilling. Let's go to the app. Let's go to the old weather app. Today was warm because it was melting. And by warm, I'm going to say 46 right now. How about it? 46 was warm. Yeah, it was like the last 3 days, it was not even like winter snowing, but then the streets, it was just freezing rain. It was just ice rain. So,
ugh.
A city that doesn't have the infrastructure to handle it, like then the streets are just, it was just ice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everything shut down for the last 3 days. So, I haven't been doing much.
Been hanging. That's crazy that they're not prepared up there.
Because this is going to happen once every 4 years. How are you going to tell your.
Yeah.
What a sanitation department, by the way, budget $5 million for street sweepers.
Yeah, I don't know enough about weather and science. It's weird to me that a place that's that far north doesn't get much snow.
But it's on the ocean. I know they're. It's on the coast. Yeah, there's a mountain range. Yeah, it's on the coast. It doesn't snow. I'm not going to say like I'm a meteorologist, but it doesn't because that the way the mountains are and the ocean are, it doesn't make snow. It makes it chilly, rainy, but not cold enough to snow. Except
but like
for
the Northeast, New York City's near the coast.
They got some else
on the coast.
They got some else. Go. They got nor'easters. You don't hear about a nor'wester. You hear about a nor'easter.
Hmm.
Remember, it killed George Clooney that one time.
Oh yeah, what was that movie?
The Pretty Good Storm.
The Perfect Storm. Yeah, Pretty Good Storm.
I'm hesitant to say perfect. I haven't seen all the storms. I'll say it's a pretty good storm.
Yeah.
You ever see that movie? A rather excellent storm? An exceptional storm.
Oh, my God.
It's a pretty good story. Well, they all came back, but boy, did they have an adventure.
Well, we've accomplished almost nothing here today, but I've enjoyed it.
The pre-production talk was you going, hey, I know, you know what? The topic, I don't know if I have a lot of facts for it. I was like, fucking 5 years in, and now you're concerned about the facts?
Yeah, I kind of lost interest in this topic while I was researching it. So.
Well, we're an hour 20. We didn't even mention it. What was it? Seven Sisters Road in Nebraska. Maybe it's haunted. Maybe it's not. We'll find out next week.
Oh, man. All right. I got to go. I haven't got on my treadmill today. I got to go. I got to go sweat.
Go walk it off.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anything to plug? What's going on? Oh, I saw some new merch. You got new merch.
It's old merch. I just plugged it again.
Old merch. No, it looks good, though. You got some cool hoodies, different colors.
It's,
where
you know,
can we find that?
Hey, man, just participating in capitalism. Oh, well, you can find it the same place you can find Dave Stone's merch over at anxiousandangry.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So...
buy you some merch.
Same place. My old merch, your old merch, same merch. And Boogie Monster merch is over there as well.
Yeah.
Of which I did like that last. Shopping. I like that last t-shirt design. We had the pocket tee. I actually had Ryan.
I liked it too.
And if you like music, Anxious and Angry is run by Ryan from Off With Their Heads. Mm-hmm. If you like that band, that's his company. So you're supporting him. You're supporting us. I had him send me the shirt. I'm like, I like that shirt enough. I think I'm going to wear my own merch. I'm going to wear that pocket tee.
There you go.
So he's sending me one. And then Rachel wanted a hoodie. She's like, can I wear this around you? I'm like, it's a little weird.
I got to get some new merch because my biscuit shirt to the naked eye looks too much like a Proud Boy gear. Got the black and gold. I had some
fuck that. No,
out.
Fuck that. I will not let them take a classic color combination. I will get black and gold, take their logo and called it like just mock their logo. I think I'm making the gentrify the NRA shirts, by the way.
Oh, dude, there you go.
I'm not even sure what that phrase means. I think it's just catchy and it just means you can put an put an NRA float. Why aren't like it just maybe I'm overthinking how subversive I assume it is, but like just have NRA stickers that are like with the trans rights and gay rights flags in those colors. Like, what are they going to do? You know,
just
make people assume that the NRA now supports all these marginalized individuals. And that's what I meant by gentrify the NRA. Put floats in the gay pride parade. I've said it in the past. Say it again. I think I'm making the shirts and they'll be unanxious and angry. Boy, this whiskey makes me loose in the mouth.
Oh, boy. All right, man. I'll plug Stoneberg's every Wednesday. I'm still on Cameo. Moving units over at Cameo, man. I'm getting booked all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Just a lot of people having me bust balls on their friends and stuff. Hey, my friend Todd, tell him he's a fucking idiot. I'm like, all right, sure. I'll take your money. Todd, you're a fucking idiot. Anyway.
That one was free.
Yeah, Cameo, cookbooks still selling. Anybody needs cookbooks, reach out to me, or you can get them on dumbdavestone.com. And, yeah, man, other than that, not a whole lot going on, dude. Just taking it day by day, enjoying life.
There doesn't have to be a lot going on.
Nah, man.
And don't you dare change the colors on your shirt. If anything, should have black and gold to diminish the fact that those colors are related. It's a classic color combo, and fuck those guys. They don't get to own. They don't own colors. Boy, that phrase can be misconstrued for their what they're trying to propagate with their.
Yeah. What a bunch! And I'll say this again: what a bunch of fucking dorks. Fuck the Proud Boys. Fuck all this.
Yeah, man. I thought about having like a whiteboard on the back of this van, although it seems pointless if it's a white van where I just change out the phrasing to blend into whatever area I am in the country. Like if I'm going through Arizona or West Texas, it'll just be like, oh, these Mexicans are coming to steal our aborted babies or something. So they don't break into the van and show some false sense of solidarity with the idiots of that region.
Yeah.
These Mexicans are sending their unaborted children over here to steal our welfare checks.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. All right, buddy, man. You hold down the fort.
Hell yeah, man. That's an hour and a half of bullshit we got through.
Hey, it's one thing we can do is bullshit.
Sure enough.
Look what we've done, man. Look what we've parlayed our knack for bullshitting into a podcast. So, there, you know, that's something. We're doing something with our lives.
I don't think parlay. Bullshitting on a podcast? Now I've heard of everything. All right, well, this PlayStation isn't going to swear at itself.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.